Fellas, you know Degree Cool Rush deodorant, right? Well, last year they changed the formula, and guys were mad about it. One dude even started a petition. So guess what? Degree heard us, admitted they messed up, and brought the original Cool Rush scent back exactly how it was. And it's in Walmart, Target, and other stores now for under $4. So grab some and remember why its cool, crisp, and fresh scent made it the number one men's antiperspirant for the last decade. Degree Cool Rush is back, and it smells like victory for all of us.
This episode is brought to you by Chevy Silverado. When it's time for you to ditch the blacktop and head off-road, do it in a truck that says no to nothing. The Chevy Silverado Trail Boss. Get the rugged capability of its Z71 suspension and 2-inch factory lift. Plus, impressive torque and towing capacity thanks to an available Duramax 3-liter turbo diesel engine. Where other trucks call it quits, you'll just be getting started. Visit Chevy.com to learn more.
This has been a heck of a journey for us.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I've never seen a draft journey than the one of Shador Sam.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Bring on Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated. The number of kids that just got drafted at the quarterback position, they're going to start a game.
Yeah, I mean, it's not impossible to see Shador or Dylan Gabriel start a game.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah, Steelers radio network host Jerry Dulac. Coming up, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Hey, everybody, my name's Rich Eisen. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Overreaction Monday pod still out there. I didn't check the numbers this morning, but they were healthy.
They were nice.
They were healthy yesterday, nice. Which means fans can't get enough of it. And it is the NFL draft and maybe, you know, our podcast, No Contest Wrestling. It's out there for everybody to listen to. Sure, you and Shay chopped up WrestleMania 41 and everything else around it.
Yeah, man.
That's what's up there. Everybody check out all of those podcasts. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here. It's time for Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday, but let's sneak in one phone call before we do. How does that sound? Tom and Tom's River.
Tom's River.
Woo. I mean, did they name the river after you? You there, Tom? Maybe he's in the river. Is he in your van down by the river?
North or south?
I'm tap dancing for Tom. I put Tom back on. The river belongs to him. Jacob in Toledo, Ohio. What's up, Jacob?
How you doing?
What's up, sir? Hey. What's on your mind?
How's everybody doing in the studio? Shout out to TJ and Brockman. Just wanted to call them.
Jacob.
Since I was five, so I just wanted to pick your guys' brains on what you thought the Bears did this year in the draft. And, like, on a realistic, you know, you see things different, Rich, so I want to just pick your brain on what you think, what we could do this season, possibly.
Okay, first things first, Jacob. You put Mike Del Tufo on a pay no mind list, and that's not good.
Hey, Del Tufo, I'm a Yankee fan too, and you need to swap to the Dodgers.
No, stick it to him, Jacob.
What's the matter? You should put him on a pay no mind list.
Stick it to him.
He said that was purpose. That's a whole other day. But yes, I'm a diehard Yankee fan. But yes, to see you swap to the Dodgers, that kind of
my bad,
everybody.
My bad, Jacob. You should shun him,
right?
Shun him.
Rich, that was purposely done by Jake the
Snake. Purposely done. You know I'm not saying hi to Mike, though, too far. I'm shunning
him. Are you north or south, Tom?
He's a flip-flopper.
All right. Let's take a look at the Bears draft if we have it. Listen.
Good draft.
I know Bears fans are like, wait a minute. Tyler Warren, that's all we heard about. And this Colston Loveland guy didn't do anything last year. Guess what?
Not true.
There's a reason why. I mean, the Michigan.
Well, you're a Michigan guy. I did want to ask you about that. How do you think Cole Loveland's going to.
Love it.
Fit in the,
he's awesome.
Our scheme with Komet.
He's awesome. Don't worry about it. Ben Johnson will know what to do. And then Luther Burden being added. Let's go. You already hit the offensive line significantly in free agency. And then you added a kid out of Boston College, Ozzie Trapillo. You know what I mean? And right. and he's your Trapillo. So Shamar Turner and the defensive spot. You know, there's a ton to like. There's a ton to like with what's going on.
Our division's going to be so tough this year. I don't even know.
Well, that's true. That's true. But you got.
I don't even know. But that's why I want to pick your brain. What do you realistically think the Bears could do?
Make the playoffs. Win the division. Make the playoffs. There's no question about that. You know, and Ben Johnson knows exactly what to do on offense, as you know. And so Colston Loveland wasn't chosen, I think, haphazardly. They knew what they were doing, and we'll see. We'll see how he does, but obviously I'm very high on him and knows right. how to play yeah. in the cold weather.
Every interview I watched of polls and anything Bears related that they spoke on him, they said that they just loved his interviewing process and his pick. So
okay. Same, right
I'm
back
high
at you.
Up on him, definitely.
Thanks, Jacob. Thanks for the call.
I appreciate it.
You bet. And he shunned Mike Del Tufo next level.
Nah, that's not funny.
You deserve
it.
Actually,
you're right. It was hilarious.
It wasn't just funny.
It wasn't just funny.
No,
kind of funny.
Hilarious.
All right. You ready, Christopher?
Let's go.
Let's go. Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage. This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday. On a Tuesday.
Christopher?
Everybody good? What's up, man?
Yeah.
What up, Joe?
I'm not good.
You look great. Mike, sorry. Jacob
yeah,
body bagged
you. Shunned
you know
by
mean?
A caller. Who said hello to me and then you and TJ. Yeah. And I'm like, well, you put Mike on the pay no mind list because I'm a Yankee fan and he'd left us for the yeah. Dodgers. So
Mike, you got to live with your choices.
Place, Dodgers right now.
Choices have consequences.
This guy. Chris?
You know, yesterday on the Overreaction Monday podcast, I said the Panthers were going to win the South.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty reasonable take. However, let's talk about the Bucks, Rich. With Baker and all the weapons, Emeka Ibuka in the draft, the Bucks, top five offense in 2025.
Oh, top five offense. We got to put the Bills there as...
Really?
Yeah, Brandon Bean pointed out they had the most points in the league last year, and they got the reigning MVP. So,
I don't know about that.
It's a tall order. They're changing offensive coordinators again. That's a tall order.
Bucky Irving, year two.
I'm with you. I hear you.
Godwin back from injury.
I know.
Evans.
I think people sleep on Kate Otten.
Kate Otten, really productive down the stretch.
Correct.
With
we have
Godwin
Jason
out.
Light on tomorrow's program.
Rashad White's still there.
So if Jason White is tuning in right now, I think this is a brilliant idea.
Great.
But otherwise,
top
I,
five
think, offense. I think it's an overreaction.
Hmm.
What else, Chris?
Rich, you just mentioned the Bills.
Hmm.
Bills didn't do enough this offseason to improve the offense for Josh Allen. Hoskins, you know I'm right. What did they do? What did they do on offense to support Josh Allen?
They kept everybody. They kept everybody.
What did they do? They added Josh Palmer. Cool.
Bro.
Their running back wants out. That's a problem.
Guess where he's not going?
Out.
So... I can't take this cheese again, and I won't do it. I won't do it. Chris, we wound up apologizing Bills to Bills Mafia on this program. Thankfully, they accepted the apology. Normally, you know, they've got long memories. Bro, we apologized to the Buffalo Bills.
Shakir Coleman Palmer isn't knocking my socks off.
Guess whose socks they knocked off last year? The MVP.
I missed the parade at, down Niagara Falls.
Right.
Did that happen?
This guy.
It's if you don't win the parade, then it doesn't. If you they're don't winning. Have a parade.
They're winning
say.
The division. They're going to be my choice to win the division. I'm off the train. This broken clock is going to be right.
Oh yes.
Which clock is that?
I'm going to put my marker on somebody's reign ending, and it will finally be right. I did it for the Chiefs and said the Raiders are going to win the division. Honestly, it's in a top five worst take ever, which is also the Miami Heat should not trade for Giannis, although maybe that's going to happen.
Hold on a second.
Really?
Hold on a second.
All right. I had no idea that's a part of our Tuesday.
Hold that beer.
Okay. Get out of here. Overreaction. Not taking it. Plus, I don't want Brendan Bean calling his program and yelling at us.
He was very aggressive on the radio.
GM's gone wild. Jason Light on Wednesday, Les Snead on Thursday. Stay tuned. I'm going to piss them all off. One by one.
GM's gone wild. I was big in the early
2000s. We're finding a spot for Howie Rose.
In the 2000s.
Big.
Chris?
The Steelers are playing a dangerous game. A quarterback, I said this yesterday, and I'm going to stand by this. Will Howard's going to start multiple games in Pittsburgh this year.
No, he won't.
You think Aaron Rodgers is going to, if he does go there, which we have no idea. We literally don't know. He was 90% retired before he joined the Jets.
Right.
Got hurt.
Yes.
And then whatever that was last year.
He did
and
not,
now we're
he
just kind of
miss games
now
last
we're
year.
Just kind of sitting
did
around.
He did not miss games last year. He just missed receivers.
Here, coach.
Well done. Will Howard won a national championship and was a very productive quarterback at K-State.
Yes.
And then there's Mason Rudolph, who this team has now gotten rid of multiple times.
Multiple games.
And brought back.
By the way, Mason Rudolph finished the season and they made the playoffs. And he played better than Trubisky did in any part of his tenure. You could make the case that the best month of the season the Steelers have seen from a quarterback in the last few years was Mason Rudolph when they handed him a mop at the end of a game in Indianapolis. I was calling on NFL Network and said, fix the Trubisky mess. And he played well enough for them to finish the season on a nice upswing. But he's not a full season guy. So if Rodgers does miss a 2-3-4 game stretch, it'll be Mason Rudolph, and they're going to let this kid marinate. Multiple games is a tall order and an overreaction. Man, I rejected you quite a bit on the pod.
Yeah, I know.
Let's get one right.
Well, it may not be this one. I know you love this guy, Rich, but when I look about what's going on in Minnesota, the Vikings should have gotten more J.J. McCarthy insurance than Sam Howell. All due respect.
Well, first of all, with all due respect, you needed to say that first before you disrespected my guy.
I'm actually disrespecting who's Sam Howell.
Who's all right? Then I'll flip it on you. Give me the guy. Who?
That's the Aaron Rodgers spot. We don't know McCarthy's going to be ready to go. We haven't seen him. He looked great in a half of
but
a
Aaron
preseason
Rodgers
game.
Aaron Rodgers is not insurance.
Yeah,
Aaron Rodgers is a bridge quarterback, meaning J.J. McCarthy doesn't play.
Right.
J.J. McCarthy's ready to play.
How do we know that?
He just spoke again. He looked very healthy and looked like his weight is back to where it needs to be.
It's April 29th.
He's been medically cleared.
It's April. We don't know.
He's been medically cleared.
We don't know. I want to see actual football games.
Guys come back from the injuries all the time.
And if he isn't playing well and gets hurt again.
That's a different story.
Now you're going Sam Howell with a team that won how many games last year? 14?
How many Sams do you need to see show up there to have their career turns around? They are experts
in
rehabilitating quarterbacks named Sam's career.
Sam Ellinger available?
Keep naming it.
Sam Elliott?
I don't know. Sam Elliott. That'd be great.
I was going with actual quarterbacks.
I was going to say Sam Miami.
Really? You don't think Howell's going to show up? Do you need Jordan Palmer to come on this show and say, don't sleep on Sam Howell if he gets a chance?
Yes, I
okay.
do. Yes.
We'll do that.
That's the only thing that's going to change
what
my
saying.
Mind.
Rodgers is not insurance. Rodgers is taking the year. Rodgers isn't going somewhere to be insurance. Kirk Cousins is a possible insurance there to say we're going to only have a certain length of a, lack of a better phrase, leash for J.J. McCarthy. And I understand if McCarthy doesn't work out, Sam Howell is potentially a steep decline. I understand where you're going with this one, but I'm asking who else would there have been for you?
They could have drafted someone.
Really? Why would they do that? Because McCarthy's the guy that they drafted last year, 10th overall. It's time. It's
who immediately has a knee injury.
Okay. It's time. And he's going to be really good. And I don't want to hear anything more about it. I have spoken, to use the Mandalorian phrase. What else?
You're wearing skull purple.
This is the way.
We hit on this at the top of the show, so I think you might actually agree with me here. Didn't know we were going to start the show like that when I wrote this last night. But okay. Hey, Tyler Shuck's going to be the Saints week one starting quarterback.
I don't think that's an overreaction at all, buddy. I don't think it's an overreaction.
I mean, I heard Derek Carr speaking at his church yesterday, so I just didn't know if that kind of changed anything.
No, I think Derek Carr is done there.
Saying that he had an MRI
everything
report.
I hear, and again, Tom Pelissero is going to join us shortly, and I will try and get it. You know, as you know, information men and women do not speak in absolutes. There's always plans. There's always appears to be. There's always, you know, some phrasing that allows for the unexpected to become the reality of it. But I'm going to see, from everything I'm hearing, Derek Carr and the Saints are finished with one another. And the only thing that would cause them to not be finished with one another is they've paid Derek Carr. And they would like some starts maybe for their money. But I think Tyler Shuck is going to be the quarterback starting week one, bud. And good for him. He was the one who came on here and said, I'm the most pro-ready quarterback in the draft.
Yep.
And I'm the one with the most pro experience of anyone here at the draft because I've been injured. I've been cut. I've been told to go somewhere else. I have been hired to go somewhere else. I, you know, he didn't use these phrases, but that's what's basically is in college football now. He's had different coordinators. He's gone to different stops. He's had to learn different playbooks. Does that sound like somebody? Like Jalen Hurts, when I interviewed him prior to the Super Bowl, I'm like, you're going to have another offensive coordinator next year, it seems. And you've had nothing but different offensive coordinators. And he said, tell me about it. Said the reigning MVP of the Super Bowl. So this wouldn't surprise me at all. Not an overreaction, Chris.
Thank you, Rich. A couple NBA ones real quick. I think the Cavs just scored like 83 more points. Heat culture is dead. It's time for Miami to move on from Pat Riley.
Wow. Do you really believe this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they should have got rid of him years ago, honestly. What are they doing?
I'm not ready to say he's lost his touch.
He's fumbled the bag on acquiring superstars and keeping them in Miami the last... What?
I don't know,
man. Since LeBron left?
Like I said, in our previous segment, if this was Nico Harrison, we would be blowing him up. You let Jimmy Butler walk, your team makes the playoffs, only to get blown out, and you don't have your first round draft choice. Right? They don't have 11th overall now.
Pretty big blunder.
Not great. But I can't sit here and say he's lost his touch. I won't do that. You can, but I won't. But I understand where I accept this in the spirit in which it's intended.
Thank you.
What else?
Last one. And Rich, this goes back to what your point was years ago. Boy, Rich.
That take is hot. I might need to, have an icy hot here.
Tonight will be Giannis's last game with the Bucks.
So this means what? He will force a trade?
They lose and he's out.
What do you mean? Where he says I.
Yeah, he's gonna ask for. He's gonna demand a trade this summer.
To where?
I think that makes the most sense. I mean, look, ESPN is already pushing the Lakers narrative. Oh, pair him with Luka. Cool. Yeah, obviously. I think that makes the most sense is OKC. They got all the draft capital in the world. You could flip Chet and one of the Jalen Williamses. Take your pick. They have two of them, and they four or five number ones. Flip it to Milwaukee. They get a chance to rebuild, and now you got Shea. And Giannis, and then Lou Dort, whoever else. And then they can make a title run with their two big superstars.
I'll buy it. I don't think it's an overreaction. We've seen crazier things happen.
We have.
Certainly with Dame not going to be there next year other than an Achilles injury.
And Giannis is, that's how Dame got to Milwaukee in the first place. Giannis was like, I need more superstars win here, or I might be... there were the Miami rumors, Golden State rumors. And so now, I think now it's time.
How about this one? They should never have gotten rid of Jrue Holiday. Ever.
I don't know. I mean.
Dude.
Not quite a superstar on Dame's level.
I thought that would be catnip for you right there.
I mean, look, he was great
unreal,
for Boston.
Man.
But he was, the fourth or fifth guy.
I get it, but what he does is unseen.
Sure.
It doesn't show up in stat lines.
Agreed. He wasn't a superstar like Dame was, though.
I agree with you on that front.
Obviously, the Dame-Milwaukee experiment didn't, big disappointment.
I know. And the thing that stands out about him, and I think you'll agree with this, TJ, is Jrue Holiday was a Celtic Olympian who actually played.
I mean, he did. He did get some minutes.
You know what I mean?
But now
someone who Steve Kerr said on the bench, I'm playing you.
But now he's out, though. So, maybe he shouldn't.
You guys are the worst.
One didn't even make it.
I didn't say
one it. Made it because Kawhi got hurt.
True.
One made it and didn't really play much. And then one actually played a lot.
I cannot wait for Celtics Knicks.
And Jrue Holiday played.
Because it is going to be embarrassing what happens to the Knicks.
Ooh.
Oh, baby. I really love this show. And sometimes on this program, the fruit hangs so low.
You can't
it's
help but
so
just,
easy for me to do it.
Know, just to take it.
Look, you can bet mom's pretty done with the sweaters, the candles, the bath gel that's sets for Mother's Day.
Yeah, true.
Show her how much she really means to you with something meaningful and thoughtful. A digital photo frame by Aura. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. Aura frames are beautifully designed, easy to use, most meaningful gift, period. And they come with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos as you want from your phone to your mom's Aura frame. The technology is amazing, guys. Do it in seconds. Off your phone, send it in an Aura frame. Put it in there over and over again. And so many memories just get uploaded. You'll love it. Great deal for Mother's Day as well. For a limited time, listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com. They get $35 off plus free shipping on their best-selling Carver mat frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Promo code RICH. Support the station by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. Take a break. I believe Tom Pelissero is sipping some tea.
Hey.
I think he is. He's about to spill it. I want you spilling that, not sipping it, Tom. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Tom Pelissero is going to join us. Pop him up, actually. Yep, Tom, we've been told is that tea that you are, in fact, sipping, Tom? Is that, are you
that is water. I am a tea guy, but this is just, you know, nature's best.
Great mug. Well, Los mug. Poyos Hermanos. Wow. Is that where you get your chicken locally, Tom? Is that where you get it?
My wife had a business trip to New Mexico a while back and came back with several very nice Breaking Bad themed gifts. I've also got a nice sipping Better Call Saul. A little glass, too. So, yes, yeah, very solid work.
Well, I mean, you know, when you come on the show, I get full of focus from you. When Rappaport comes on the show, he's constantly looking at his phone. So maybe when that happens the next time, one of you guys can just text him Poyos to his phone and see how he reacts.
Kind you know of like I mean? How Brockman and TJ will text me during my segment every single week just to see if they'll look at my iPad.
Do you
and
do that?
See them posting photos of themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm about to do it right now.
Yeah, I like sending Tom.
Hold on a second.
I like to send Tom pictures of myself.
Wait a minute.
To be honest.
Are you serious? You're sending him...
That's not
usually it's
stuff.
At the end. Usually it's at the end of the segment.
No, but no.
I feel like it's throughout.
Prank texting.
Just me going like, "Hey, watch."
That's right. Not I'm great right. for this.
That's not good,
that's not good right for now. The show.
What do you mean?
I'm trying to talk to this man, and he's, you know, I mean, no, yeah. that's not right. None of it's right.
Yeah, they're not funny.
I like to keep him on his toes.
Tom, do they really do that?
I just sent one a second ago.
That's virtually our entire text thread is that and me, like, watching Schwarzenegger movies from the 80s and being like, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
That's our relationship.
Yeah, but at least I have your undivided attention during the segment.
Yeah, Tom, check phone in 3, 2, 1.
No, but when Ian's on with Pat, he's just like, tell me more about your questions. that's not right.
Photo I just got. Hey! And that is pretty consistent with all the other photos.
Leave that alone. I'm trying to get him to pay attention. I want you to treat me like
he's
Ian treats
in.
Pat. Tom.
He's locked in.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Tom Pelissero has stopped by. Tom, the story of the draft. Which one? You could choose one to tell the story of the 2025 NFL draft. It might be the obvious one. It might not be. You're the one who has all these stories coming across. What do you got for me, Tom?
Listen, there were a bunch of unique stories. You know, you had multiple future first-round picks moved in trades on day one, which is, you know, clearly not something that we saw over the past year. You had, you know, the Giants taking Abdul Carter, then moving up for Jackson Dart. But I think that, you know, when we're thinking back on this, at least for the next couple of years, it's all going to come down to who went number 144 overall. There were a lot of different layers to the Shedeur Sanders story. You know, I was not surprised he didn't go in round one. I was surprised that no one took him on day two. But at the same time, you know, the NFL tends to render its verdict on the quarterback position in general. This year, the verdict was, as we thought going in, this beyond Cam Ward was not a very good quarterback class. You saw the Giants again come back in for Dart. You saw Tyler Shuck go in the second round, but Jalen Milroe not going until the late third. There were guys like Quinn Ewers who have won a lot of football games ending up going in the seventh. We would have probably talked about those things more if not for Shedeur Sanders coming all the way down to the fifth round, where he ends up not only not being one of the first six picks by the Browns in the draft, but not even the first quarterback that they took. And again, we can get into all different angles of this, but I think the fundamental lesson here, Rich, was as much as from a media perspective, there was this kind of debate throughout the pre-draft process of Cam Ward versus Shedeur Sanders, I would just tell you, going all the way back to before the combine, within the league, that was not really the case. Within the league, it was Cam Ward, draw a line, and then shuffle the deck between the next three or four guys. Obviously, Shedeur Sanders ended up being the one who was shuffled out, and we'll see what his story holds now in the midst of a very, very unique depth chart that he's now on in Cleveland.
Third day, man. That one's just tough to understand. Third day, that's really tough to understand, you know? And first night, I get it. Second night, I'm wondering if anything that's playing into it has to do with, as I said on Friday night, teaching the Sanders family a lesson, maybe concern that Deion would be lording over someone's job if it didn't work out. I don't know. Why did he fall to day three based on your knowledge reporting? Because, again, you had all those, unnamed folks in your must-read pre-draft tome, is the only way to put it, on NFL.com, about the quarterbacks and top players in the draft. What's your opinion of the day three-ness of it all, Tom?
Well, let's start with this. Philosophically, there's a lot of NFL teams that believe if you think you're getting a franchise quarterback, you think you're getting a starter, you take him in round one, and value be damned. Don't worry if you had him graded as a low one, a mid one, and you take him up at the top or whatever. If you think you're getting a franchise quarterback, you take him in a first. Now, at the same time, philosophically, those teams also believe that if you think you're getting a backup caliber player, if it's not a surefire starting quarterback, you don't take him in the second or third, because at what other position would you draft a backup player with that type of a premium draft pick where you can get a starter and somebody who's going to be able to help you at another position? And you saw that kind of divide this year. Again, you had Cam Ward go one, Jackson Dart goes late one after the Giants trade back up and in. Tyler Shuck goes at the top of two, but that's really because the Saints maybe didn't value him as the number nine pick. But if their pick had been at the end of the first, they probably feel comfortable taking Tyler Shuck. And then you had this big gap until Dillon Gabriel and Jalen Milroe end up going late third down in like that compensatory pick area. Again, that's kind of the spread that you a lot of times get, just because teams don't want to take a guy to be their backup quarterback with a pick that they could get somebody who could be plug and play and help them at another position right now. And again, I go back to, I remember you asked me the question before the draft, Rich, of, okay, you know, what's the debate over who will be QB3? And I said, the real debate is QB2, 3, 4, 5, because it was Cam Ward was the one guy who profiled as a starter. And then you got different opinions about Shedeur, Jackson Dart, Tyler Shuck, and Jalen Milroe. And those four guys were in different orders on everybody's draft board. I would say this too, and I do it every year. I talk to dozens of coaches and scouts and front office people and try to build the full tapestry, because the quarterback position, it is subjective on some levels. One person's not going to see it the same way. And in past draft classes, you know, I remember last year I had people telling me, there were multiple people who said, Jaden Daniels for me is over Caleb Williams. Even go back to, and again, some of these are right, some of these are wrong, there were people saying Zach Wilson. I would take Zach Wilson based on his final year tape over Trevor Lawrence. There was nobody who was arguing that I spoke to for Shedeur Sanders over Cam Ward as the number one quarterback in this draft. Our colleague Bucky Brooks was adamant. He had him as his number one quarterback. Mel Kiper Jr., who's the godfather, had him as the number one quarterback, and obviously made a point during ESPN's draft coverage of why he felt like Shedeur should have been going. But that was just not an opinion that I heard within the league. In fact, I had more people, at least one or two, tell me they'd argue for maybe Jackson Dart over Cam Ward, just based upon the total body of work, based on the physical traits, how they see him fitting into an NFL offense. So right there, that was part of the tell to me that Shedeur maybe could go in the first, but when you really got down to draft day, it was, all right, it's the Giants, maybe the Steelers, or else somebody's going to have to trade up, or Shedeur's going to slide. Then once you got beyond round one, you know, part of the reason sometimes you get guys drafted in the second, third rounds are because you have teams that don't need a quarterback and they just go, hey, this name, you know, as you're looking at your board stacked horizontally, we got all these guys here. And then there's this one guy at quarterback. We don't need a quarterback, but how are we not going to take that guy? You know, how are we not going to take a quarterback? It's like when the Eagles took Jalen Hurts. We got Carson Wentz. We feel great about him, but gosh, we think this Jalen Hurts might be something. So let's take him at the end of the second. I think that's where, when you really unwind the process with Shedeur Sanders, there were maybe some decisions that were made and opportunities that were missed that could have had him come off the board a little bit sooner. In fact, I talked late Friday night. It was like midnight in Green Bay, and I got a call from a GM who was thinking about taking Shedeur on Saturday. And we were just kind of talking through, you know, how is this even possible? He pointed all the way back to something that Deion said on a podcast in like February or March of 2024, which was the infamous, hey, if Shedeur or Travis Hunter, they get taken by a team that I don't think they should go to, we're going to pull an Eli, right? We're going to blow it up and we're going to get him out of there. And that's kind of how Shedeur, who did not hire an agent, he was getting advised by his father. He was getting advised maybe by a publicist, but he did not have an agent navigating the process. He kind of approached it like Deion had all those decades ago. You know, there's all the famous Deion quotes about, you know, I thought I was scared Detroit was going to draft me. I would ask for so much money, they would have to put me on layaway. The Giants gave me this huge book, this test. And I said, what pick do you have? 10? I'm not taking all that. Mm-hmm. Shedeur went into this process and very much seemed like it was, I'm going to dictate where I go rather than the league dictating to me. And I say this as objectively as I possibly can, Rich. The league's verdict was Shedeur was not a good enough prospect as a player to be able to proceed that way. And I don't mean that on a personal level. It was a matter of, because some of these interviews went as badly as they did, because he seemed to have more interest in just a few teams than other teams, there were some, I'm sure, general managers, scouts, coaches. There were a lot of people that told me they were turned off by the process. Those are the very people that once Shedeur gets out of the first, second round, they might have had a third round grade on the guy. And it's like, we didn't have a good experience. He didn't, in other words, he didn't answer some of those questions, whether as a player or a person. There were questions other teams had that never got answered. So on that level, maybe we shouldn't be surprised that he ends up going, albeit in the fifth round, to one of the teams that did get the work. The Browns did have him in on a visit. They did get to spend the additional time with him. And for all that said, Rich, if Shedeur wants to play sooner than later, I can't think of a better place he could have landed than Cleveland. You've got a depth chart right now where they have Joe Flacco, who they gave like $3 million guaranteed to. They traded a fifth-round pick for Kenny Pickett. They took Dylan Gabriel in the third. They take Shedeur in the fifth. And Deshaun Watson, who's making more money than all those guys combined, probably doesn't play this year. There's not a lot of, you know, examples of a fifth-round pick ending up starting. Obviously, Sam Howell got his opportunity after his draft slide a few years ago in Washington. But in a pretty wide-open depth chart, why wouldn't Shedeur Sanders have the opportunity to prove to everybody, to the extent that he may have, you know, felt like he got downgraded unfairly through the process, I'm going to go out and show you. You're going to have the opportunity now in Cleveland. Let's see what he does with it.
So, you know, that front-loaded my next question about what happens in Cleveland. So let me just finish up with this one and then ask you some other questions about the draft. Yes, you're saying, okay, great spot for him to land in Cleveland, except they passed on him six times. And unbelievably traded a fifth round pick to get him, meaning after letting him fall all those rounds, suddenly woke up with a sense of urgency to go get him in the fifth round, to jump a line, maybe presumably for Philadelphia to go grab him. So I ask you, you know, that does lend some credence that there might have been an ownership thumb on the scale to say, go get him, you know, make sure you get him. So suddenly we're going to use our last draft choice to go move up to get him after spending six draft choices on other people, including another rookie quarterback. I mean, that couldn't have been part of the plan. Let's get two rookies in the draft. What's your reporting? Did Jimmy Haslam tell him, go do this? Did that happen?
In real time, as I was talking to people after the Shedeur Sanders pick, it was made abundantly clear to me, Rich, this was not Jimmy Haslam pushing for this pick. This was Andrew Berry doing what a lot of GMs do as you get further in the draft. It's that one name that you've got the higher grade on, and he's still on the board, And eventually you're just like, well, we don't have a need at the position. Certainly the Browns have a broader macro need at the position, but like we already drafted a guy, we signed a guy, we traded for Kenny Pickett. Why would we do this? But if you've got, and I don't know their exact grade on him, they obviously didn't have a high enough grade on him to take him over Dylan Gabriel, who they got in the third, or over those other six picks. But it's fair to say they had a high enough grade that why would you not take another bite at the apple? And that's really what this comes down to, Rich. Certainly on one hand, the Browns have now signed themselves up for an offseason of chaos. They have lived it with Deshaun Watson for the last several years. They lived it this year with Myles Garrett. They're used to it. I don't think that Kevin Stefanski is probably wild about the idea of yet another quarterback controversy overshadowing everything that's going on. But at the same time, on the flip side of it, when you are taking a quarterback in the mid rounds, you're doing it based on traits. None of these guys are surefire starters. If they were, they would have gotten drafted up high in the draft. With Dylan Gabriel, he's really, really accurate, but he's short. He's like my height, and there's real questions about, okay, a guy who was that productive at the college level, everybody's bigger, everybody's faster, how can he function? They clearly liked him. He's like the best comp that I would give you, Rich, is he's like a mini Tua Tagovailoa. Can he go and function at the NFL level? We're going to find out. With Shadur, you have accuracy. You have toughness. You have a guy who has been a part of building up a couple of programs, but not the biggest arm, not the biggest guy. He is not an elite athlete like his dad was. And then you've obviously got all these other questions about the type of culture shock that he's in for when he's going to be dropped into an NFL building where, for the first time since he was a kid, his dad's not his coach and the accountability structures are going to be different. But if this is just a matter of lottery tickets, which are what mid-round quarterbacks are, buy the second ticket when it's on cheap and see what you get. If your worst case scenario here, Rich, with drafting Shadur, besides, again, having immense amounts of media attention and scrutiny over how you now proceed at the quarterback position, but your worst case scenario is Shadur comes in, he doesn't play well, and you cut him and you're out a fifth-round pick. The upside is a guy who we were talking about until draft day. Is this guy give me the third overall pick in the draft? Mm-hmm. And maybe you fall into your future starting quarterback. I think this all goes back, Rich, to what they did at number two, which was up until those last couple of days when we started hearing Jacksonville was really pushing hard. That was a surprise. I was struck by how many people, when I was texting people within the league that night and asking them for the biggest surprise of round one, which is something, an exercise I do every year. Hey, what was the biggest surprise? The number of people who said, I couldn't believe the Browns got that much for the number two pick. They got the quarterback premium without a second quarterback on the board. That to me said, you got an extra first round pick in 2026. That is supposed to be a much better quarterback draft. You're going to have Arch Manning quite possibly in that draft, Dualar from Penn State quite possibly within that draft, Carson Beck, who we were talking about as a potential first round pick back in that pool. You're going to have, and this can all change over the next year as we well know, but you're going to have potentially more options. So now the Browns not only have the ammunition to go up and get their quarterback in 2026, they're now taking two shots this year, three if you count Kenny Pickett, to just go, let's put all these guys in the room, a former first-round pick, a guy who was projected to be a first-round pick, and a guy who started more games than anybody in college football history. Let's see what happens in training camp. And it's going to be one of the driving storylines all through the spring and summer.
2 minutes I have left here. Derek Carr, what's the deal? Is he done with the Saints? They done with him even though they paid him? I mean, what happens? Tom?
Well, they did a conversion on his salary earlier this offseason, which you would not think is something they would do unless either A, they had to because he was hurt, or B, because they saw no reason he wouldn't be their quarterback. There's now almost $60 million in dead money if they move on from Derek Carr, and they owe him $40 million guaranteed this year. We saw Derek Carr at a church service delivering a sermon of sorts about how he's being persecuted about his shoulder injury and whether it's real. He says, I've got an MRI to prove it. What we know as of now is Derek Carr is debating whether or not to undergo shoulder surgery, which would knock him out for most, if not all, of the 2025 season. He also is due all that money. And Kellen Moore is the guy who's on the phone with Tyler Shuck at the top of the second round, bringing in a guy who, you know, you can argue about, you know, different guys and the comparisons with picks, but there's a lot of people who think, you know, if a guy's going to step in and just function day one out of all the quarterbacks in this class, it's Tyler Shuck. So we'll see where this goes now from Derek Carr, but there is certainly a non-trivial chance, Rich, that we're sitting here week one and getting ready to watch Tyler Shuck be one of the rookie quarterbacks that are starting an opener.
Interesting. And the Kittle signing, is that a breadcrumb for Purdy? What's going on?
Well, we'll see the full details on the George Kittle contract. He's 31 years old. A lot of times when you do a deal like this, it's really a one-year extension that gives a raise this year and then tacks on a couple of additional seasons, allowing him to stay under team control and renegotiate. That was an ongoing process, you know, in a year where obviously they move on from Debo and there's, you know, still lingering questions about, you know, what version of Christian McCaffrey you're going to have coming back, what version, if at all, you have of Brandon Ayuk in the early portion of the season. Kittle, all injuries aside, because he battled through a lot last year, he's a guy that you know you can count on. This doesn't really bear on the Brock Purdy situation. What I would tell you on Purdy is they've been in negotiations. They have been in talks. They continue to move forward. Purdy is there. He is working out with the team. He chose to be around, even though there's this ongoing situation involving his contract. I would certainly anticipate, and I know I've said it before on this show, Rich, when this deal gets done, I mean, it's not going to be the Puka Nacua podcast number of 40-something million dollars. This is going to be right there in the 50s probably with Brock Purdy. They've made very clear that they want Brock Purdy to be the long-term quarterback solution in San Francisco. They're not close. Nothing's imminent from my understanding here, but certainly this is a deal that you know, I would anticipate that all parties have a vested interest in getting done before we get to training camp.
Great job this weekend, as always, Tom. We'll see you next week. Appreciate it. Thanks for the time, brother.
Thanks, Rich.
When Kramer is hitting golf balls at the beach and George is dating this girl pretending to be a marine biologist and walking on the beach and then saves a whale on the beach, we're shooting the episode, okay? We're shooting it. I don't know the schedule that week, but let's say we're shooting it on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. It's Tuesday. We don't have the golf ball goes into the blowhole of the whale. We don't have it.
You don't?
No. It was never in the script. It was the night before. It was the night before we shot the scene with Jason in the coffee shop. I said to Larry, hey, what if what puts the whale in distress is Kramer's golf ball? He's hitting golf balls at the beach. George is walking on the beach with the girl. We haven't connected them. We saw no connection the night before. Wow. We write that speech the night before, 2 o'clock in the morning.
But the sea was angry?
The sea was angry that day, my friend. We show up the next day. We hand Jason, who's a effing genius, we hand Jason that speech. How long is that speech? It's a page, 2 pages.
Yes.
You walk up, this is TV, okay? This is why film sucks. You walk up to a TV actor like Jason and you hand him 2.5 pages and I go, we got to shoot this in a half hour. Memorize it. He goes, no problem. That's TV. That's TV.
That line.
No preciousness. And I got a nugget for you.
Please.
So when Jason is doing the speech, mm-hmm. there's one shot, there's one cut to me with my eyes, my eyebrows. I'm watching him. Mm-hmm. You think I'm reacting to the story. I'm reacting. I can't believe he's getting this speech word perfect. That is what I'm thinking. I'm not even in the scene. I'm not acting. Wow. I'm just watching Jason get the speech right in front of a live audience. Okay? It's not film. In film, movies, you screw it up, and we'll do it again.
Yeah.
In TV, this live audience is going to hear this speech for the first time once. Once. So you want those juicy laughs.
Absolutely.
They're hearing these jokes the first time, and he's getting it perfect. That is why I have that look on my face.
I said, easy, scene. Big fella.
Yeah. John Wayne.
like an old man returning soup,
sending
to deli,
soup back at a deli. Yeah. And then, Jewish is that joke, by the way?
Brilliant. And then, but... But then the ultimate, the ultimate is the cherry on top of Kramer saying, is it a Titleist? As if it could be someone else's golf ball that got put into the blowhole.
Well, that's a golfer, right?
That is, yes.
That's a golfer.
It was a golf aficionado question. Like, it could be someone else's golf ball. Like, yeah. It couldn't be mine.
Is it a two? Yeah, a Titleist two. Oh, going up the chain at Titleist that morning. Getting someone at Titleist to let us say Titleist.
Oh, wow.
You have to do that. We're biting our nails. Is Titleist? It has to be Titleist. It's the funny golf ball.
Titleist is funny.
Yeah, and then the call comes in. Titleist is cool. Titleist is cool. And Larry and I are just like, yes.
Happy 71st birthday to one of our favorite guests ever. The great Jerry Seinfeld turns the big 7-1 today.
Whoa, that's awesome.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Hyundai, folks, has class exclusive safety features, every last one of them, just for you to make sure that you are as advanced in the safety features in your car that can alert you to potential dangers around you as you possibly can be. Hyundai has over 130 IIHS top safety awards since 2006 because Hyundai's always working to ensure the road doesn't get you. IIHS top safety awards include top safety pick and top safety pick and awards to Hyundai vehicles from 06 to 25. Your overreaction Monday on a Tuesday subject matter is that the Vikings did not supplement their quarterback room enough for insurance of J.J. McCarthy's readiness or unworthiness to get the starting quarterback job put on his plate. Am I correct in that assumption?
I'm not saying unworthy. I'm saying unready, and just in case of emergency.
Guess what? He spoke today and was asked about being ready as a starting quarterback in the NFL. Here was his answer.
I know I'm ready to start. I appreciate that question, Kevin, because all the work I put in and just the confidence in my skills and abilities and just being able to do my job and simplify things to, you know, the best of my ability every single day and, you know, just take it one day at a time, one play at a time. And, you know, I have a tremendous coaching staff, a tremendous group of guys around me that I can lean on, and they can lean on me.
You know what? Oh. I'm going to say it. I don't care. You know I'm a homer. You know I'm a homer. I'm about to say a homer thing.
Oh, I'm not really surprised, honest with you.
We are going to talk about McCarthy and O'Connell as the quarterback-coach combination up there with anybody else's. That's what we're going to talk about.
Belichick and Brady?
That's a big one.
No, currently in the NFL.
Okay.
Wow. Reed Mahomes. We're talking three rings.
I got it.
Reed Mahomes.
Right. You're talking Sirianni Hurts, right? What else are we talking about here? Harbaugh and Herbert.
A McVay Stafford Super Bowl.
Okay. We're talking about that. We're we'll talking about
Schottenheimer Prescott.
The
Come on.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Vrabel May.
Hey, in all seriousness, though, we're also talking about Sean Payton, Bo Nix right now on the verge, right?
For
right
sure,
on
for
the
sure.
upswing here.
They're
right?
on the upswing. Shanahan and Purdy.
Our Mr. Hydration himself, Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love.
Shador and Kevin Stefanski.
This guy. Okay.
There you go.
Hey,
Have your fun.
Yeah.
Have your fun.
I'm not having fun. Serious in a few years.
McDaniel and Tua.
They're going to be wearing with McCarthy and O'Connell, they're going to be wearing purple on St. Patrick's Day in Minnesota.
You know Bruckman and I are JJ fans, too.
I know that. Yeah. I know that.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I just wish they would have done more to kind of build that room up.
Kevin O'Connell is a prime grade A play caller, coach, quarterback whisperer. This kid in his hands, I appreciate the question. Understand it. Okay. Let's go. Guy's a winner. He is a winner, and he can throw it, and he can identify it. He's got great neg up ability. You can talk about his abilities as a quarterback physically. Fine. Okay. I'm excited for him. I'm excited for the Vikings. And I understand the question. I understand the overreaction Monday on a Tuesday subject matter. That they need a little bit more backup. The safety net isn't stitched as tightly as it can be. I understand. I appreciate the question, Chris.
Yeah, that was my point.
But he's ready. And the coach is ready. And together, Wonder Twin Powers activate.
That's what I'm talking about.
Baby.
I'm
skull clapping. And look at the color I'm wearing right now.
Yeah. Super Bowl winning team.
Actually, it's more plum than Vikings purple, but I think
it's close enough.
It's close enough.
It's in the family.
If you work in quality control at a candy factory,
You know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high-quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.